Amen. Amen. It is good to be back with you. Over the last 3 weeks, I've been gone and had the privilege of being with Destiny Rescue out in L.A., and that was incredible just to continue to join the fight to end human trafficking and child sex slavery. And so it was just a privilege and good to be away and be there in that. And then you, in Level 13, had a fantastic day as well over the last 3 weeks, but you got to meet your potential next pastor. So if you're not familiar with me, if you're coming back out of the summer and you're like, who's last time I saw a pastor here, he had no hair. Who are you? And well, my name's Jason, and I've had the privilege of being your interim pastor and just kind of believing that God has not hit the pause button on Level 13, that there is still things that God is going to do while you're continuing the search of finding your next pastor. And so you hosted Pastor Heath and the Croft family, and today's the great day that you get a vote on that, and you're going to hear more about that at the end. But it's been a privilege, and I just want to say thanks for the encouragement that's come my way, and I just have great faith and hopes in all that God wants to do in and through you. Well, another thing that I would like to just share briefly, as you walked in, you should have received a bulletin, and you could have if you wanted it, and in there are some announcements, and you could have had a card. One of the things that we have coming up is our Family Fall Festival. And so what that happens is that's a Saturday and a Sunday. And so on Saturday, we just want to invite the area, the community, the region, right? Just invite them. And the way that happens is you're going to pick up some invite cards. Those are the photos that's been made. You'll find the postcard out there. You can pick up 2, 3, 50 and just deliver them to kind of, you know, and take a snapshot of it, put it on Instagram, Facebook, share the event. It's already on Facebook. You can share it. But this is a way for us as a church, right, as Level 13, to just demonstrate our heart for the community and invite them into a fun and safe place where they get to be in a Christ-centered environment and have fun with their family. So I want you to invite your friends and bring your kids and grandparents, bring your grandkids and just bring somebody's grandkids and just like, let's load the grounds with families and just have a great time. Another way that you could help is we're going to be passing out all kinds of candy and having some carnival games and some food and fun that day. And so when you're buying candy to give away through the Halloween season, buy a bag or two or 10 and bring it here and donate it so we can give it out to the families. That's a way you can help. Another way you can help is say, you know what, I'll help run some games, or I'll help facilitate some food, or I'll help with the movie night. And so if you're willing to help on your card, just say, hey, I'm willing to help. I want to be a part of Level 13. I want to be a part of what we're doing to reach our community. And someone will call you, and they'll figure out where you would like to help, and you'll hear more about that. But anyway, that is coming up, and we hope that you'll be a part of that Saturday. Then Sunday, we're bringing it back because we're going to invite all the families that came on Saturday. We're going to intentionally invite them back Sunday, and for children, we're going to have a magician here and a clown here and just a bounce house here and just some other fun ways to demonstrate God's word to them. So we want them to come back on Sunday and experience it. This week, we are starting a new series titled Rawr, and that's I was tempted to have you say that back to me because I wanted to hear how you heard it, and I thought, well, I won't do that. I'll be the only one that sounds silly and rawr. And anyway, we're going to begin a new series, and here's the point with this series is we're all afraid of something. We all have fears, and some of you in the room, you like inciting fear on other people. You like scaring your kids, your spouse, your friends. Like, you just like doing things that create fear, and you like to scare them. There are others of you, and I think this is even a deeper level of sickness, you like to be scared. I don't understand that, and that's going to happen throughout this month as we enter into the kind of the Halloween season, right? But some of you, when you go to theme parks, you go to Cedar Point, things like that, here's just what I've heard. That ride was so scary. It was awesome. That doesn't even make sense to me. It scared you, and it was awesome. I don't get that, but some of you, you like that. You like to be scared. You're going to go to haunted houses. You're going to go to haunted jails. I don't know why, but you will because you're sick. And you like to be scared. You like fear being put inside you, and I don't get that. We all have some kind of level of fears. You're going to watch movies at the most horrible time. You're going to be alone in the house. It's going to be 2 a.m., and you're like, hey, now's a good time to watch Friday the 13th. No, it's not. Why would you do that? And you're not going to be able to sleep for the next week, but you're going to, it was awesome. No, it wasn't. Fear, we have them, and we don't. Here's the thing I know about fear, though. While we might like to cause fear and we might like to be scared, we don't like to deal with our everyday fears. In fact, we'll ignore them. but we all have them. Growing up, I had some natural fears, and I definitely think I had some unnatural fears, and I won't tell you all of them because that would just tell you way too much about my life, but I will tell you one fear I had. I had a fear of dogs. And the reason why that happened, and I'm so glad, my parents get to be here for this, and he participated in it. I was about four or five. And we were living in North Carolina, and we had a car wash, and I was running up and down the hill, and I decided to do it one more time. And I think it was like a pit bull or something. It wasn't a Maltese. It was a big dog. It was a mean dog. Rottweiler. See, I told you. Rottweiler. A Rottweiler attacked me without me seeing it. It got a hold of my skull, and it wouldn't let go. Liked my head. And it just kind of was mauling me, and I was covered with blood and mud, and my dad came down as the hero and beat the dog senseless with his boot and his tire iron to finally get the dog off of me and took me into the hospital. And ever since then, even Chihuahuas scared the pants off of me. I was just scared. Like, here's how bad it was. I would sit in the car when we would go somewhere, and my parents would have to go into the house to see if they had any, like, pet turtles or something. They'd have to hide them. Because I just was scared of dogs, and they had to put them away. And here's the crazy thing. For whatever reason, my dad thought, you know what the best therapy is? Let's buy a Great Dane. And so later in life, that's bad therapy. Don't do that. If your kid is scared of dogs, don't buy a Great Dane. Go on, let's get him over it. Like, that's a bad plan. It didn't work. Anyway, enough picking on him. that's horrible. The Bible, let me get centered. The Bible says there are two types of fears. It just addresses two fears. The first fear is good, and it's to be encouraged, and it brings life. And the second type of fear is detriment, and it's life-robbing, and it's not of God. The first fear is this awestruck wonder and awe of God's presence. And it's a reverential respect of God's power. And this is what we call the holy fear of God. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's a healthy thing. It's a holy thing. That we're to have a holy fear. It means that we have this awestruck wonder of the presence of God and a reverential respect of the power of God. The second fear that the Bible talks about is the Bible calls it a spirit of fear, and it is not of God. Matter of fact, 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us a spirit of a power, of love and power and self-discipline. This is the spirit in which he gives us. And so there is this fear that relates to God in a good and healthy way, and then there's this fear that is destructive. And this spirit of fear, you know what it does? It's toxic. And it demoralizes, it holds you hostage, it paralyzes you. This type of fear is a thief. This fear steals your hope, it robs your joy, it kills your faith. It separates you from God, it causes you to go inward and downward and underneath. It is nothing of God. So as we begin this series of RAR, we're have some fun, but I believe that God wants to do an incredible work. In fact, level 13, if you're new here or you're somewhat new here and you haven't been here for a while and you go like, what's up with the name? The founding pastor, incredible Pastor Rob and the team that planted this church said, we understand that there are places that we don't like to go. That oftentimes 13, it's a number associated with levels that people don't want to go to. It's associated with superstition. It's associated with things and places we just don't want to be a part of. And they believe that's where Jesus lived. That's where Jesus wanted to go. It's in the places where we want to ignore, the places that we don't want to participate in. And that's where Jesus goes to bring hope and life and love and salvation. And so level 13, I'm just trying to come alongside into the spirit in which you were born to help us live a free life in Christ. And in doing so, as this opening week, we're just going to talk about the topic of fear. And then over the next few weeks, we're going to dive deeper into some of the fears that we have the most and what the Bible has to say about them. And this is what I know, and I want to be careful, and I'm praying throughout the whole month, is that I don't want to bring you, but I don't want to bring your toes to the line. I don't want to bring you face to face with your fear and leave you with no hope and no answer. I don't want this to be something that causes you to panic or to leave going, well, thanks for talking about that, now what? But I hope that you find, my prayer is that you do find freedom from the fear and that you begin to move closer into faith and more like Christ. And so before we begin talking, can we just pray that in now? Would you join me? Heavenly Father, you know each one of us better than we know ourselves. You know the fears that we're not talking about. You know the fears that we hide from. You know the fears that we're scared that we don't have to face every day, and we just long for the day that we don't. And as we begin to talk about some things, the fears that come when it means to what it means to follow you and to be more like you, there are fears that the enemy uses to keep us back. These are fears that keep us in our limitations instead of freeing us into our potential. And so, Holy Spirit, I call on you and I need your help. We need your help to illuminate truth and to apply it to our lives that we can begin to break away from these things and live a Christ-centered, faith-filled, joy-filled life. And so I pray that for each and every one in the room, that we walk away filled with hope and our confidence in Christ. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I would invite you, if you would, to open up your Bible to the Psalms. And I'm going to specifically ask that you go to Psalm 55, and we'll get there kind of towards the end, but I'd like for you to already be prepared for this passage in Psalm 55. The easiest way to find it is your table of contents, but just kind of flip through and you'll find Psalms and number 55. And if you have a phone or a tablet, something with the Bible on it, please feel free to use that as when we get ready to approach this. One of the things, if you're a note writer down and you just kind of like follow along over the next month, I would just encourage you to write this, is that unhealthy fear can incapacitate us. Unhealthy fear can incapacitate us, and I think we know that. We know that there are times in our life when fear gets to be so much, or our worries. A lot of people won't use the word fear. We'll use worry. I'm worried about. I'm concerned with. And really all that is it's a fear speaking, but we camouflage it with words so it doesn't sound as bad. And there are times that it can feel so heavy, so weighed down, we're not sure what to do with it, and we just don't even have the energy to do much at all. We just kind of go into survival mode. That's what Proverbs is saying, is an anxious heart weighs a man down. That these fears have an incredible way of just robbing us and keeping us in our limitations and not into our potential. And so I want to help us address three things that we can do to stand our ground against fear. Whatever the fear is if it's not a holy fear of God, like I want you to remember that there are two types of fear, a holy fear of God and a fear that is not of God. And that whenever we're kind of approaching life, we should be able to put all our actions and our thoughts and really into one of the two of those categories. That either we're practicing this holy fear of God, I'm this awestruck wonder of the presence of God and a reverential a respect of the power of God, or I'm living in an unholy fear and it's kind of trying to pull me away. It's causing me to question God, to doubt God. It's causing me to not seek God and to burrow down. And it's not healthy. It's a toxicity that exists. And so two categories, three ways that I want us to find me. How do I approach? How can I stand my ground to fear? The first one is this, is like instead of fearing, right? Instead of fearing less, trust more. Instead of fearing less, trust more. Now, here's how that makes sense to me. When I've been at my best, and it's been maybe once or twice in my life, and that's it. When I've been at my best, and I'm watching what I'm eating, and I'm kind of trying to take care of my body a little bit, right? I'm trying to be a good steward, and I'm on a, you know, here's what I know. Like, if I'm on a diet, the thing I can't think about is what I can't eat. If all I'm doing is thinking about what I can't eat, guess what I'm thinking about? Reese cups. Ice cream. Popcorn. Peanut butter Snicker bar. Oh, this is just temptation talking about it. If I'm thinking about what I can't eat, all I'm thinking about is what I want to eat. But if I fix my mind on what I should eat, what's going to drive my goal, what's going to help me be where I want to be, now what am I thinking about? Salad. Walking, running, whatever. But you're right, it's on the best disciplines. Here's the thing with fear. If we're saying instead of fearing less, trust more, if all we're doing is thinking about what we don't want to fear, guess what we're thinking about? Fear. But if I switch my thoughts to trusting more, who am I thinking about? God. The way I'm going to fear less is to fix my thoughts on God, and I'm going to focus on His presence. I'm going to focus on His power. I'm going to focus on who He is, and it's going to move me kind of from fear. Like, listen, if the advice "stop it" worked, anybody ever told you that? Like something that you're doing and you don't want to do, and someone just come around and go, "Well, just stop it." Like, oh, thank you. I hadn't thought of that advice, huh? You are intelligent. These are the things you want to say that you don't. But that's what you're thinking, right? Like, oh, stop it. If it was just that easy. Well, now that I know, good. Fears aren't going to go away. We're always going to have fear. In fact, the first time that we notice the word fear, the first time that we see the word fear in the Bible, it's at the very beginning. It doesn't take very long into the story with God before fear comes into the picture. And it's when Adam and Eve decided, right, they decided to go against the will of God. They bought into the deception and they bought into the lie, and they begin to kind of put God in the background. They begin to question God. Well, God, maybe you are holding out on me. Maybe you don't want the best things for me. Maybe your plan isn't what's best for me. And we begin to question God and move out of His will and start to pursue our own self-interest and what we thought was going to work. And we bought into the lie, and they ate of the apple, and the next thing you know, just, you know, a little bit before that, you find Adam and Eve walking in the cool of the day with having fellowship with God. Just a little bit later, you find them hiding behind a tree going, shh. Can you imagine trying to hide from God? Like, He can see everything. There's not a future and a past. He sees it all and wants. There's nowhere that you can go, Scripture says, without God being there. He's everywhere. He can see all things. And you got Adam and Eve ducking under a bush trying to hide from Him. And God comes calling, "Hey, Adam, where are you? Why'd you hide?" "Oh, I was afraid." It's the first time that we find this word "afraid" being used. And it's this, not this holy, awestruck wonder and reverential respect of God, but it's a fear that is incited that separates us from God. And instead of fearing less, we should trust more. Let me show you some passage. If you want to write it down, it'll be up here as well. In Psalms 56:3, I love what it says. It says, "When I'm afraid," not "if I'm afraid." Hey, if I'm afraid. I love what David does. Is David has this just incredible, pure, raw way of writing what's on his heart. And he doesn't spice it up. He doesn't correct it. He doesn't churchify it. He just says raw what he's thinking and feeling. And God allows us to peer into his heart and see it in written form, what David was thinking. And he says, "When I'm afraid." And look what he also says. He goes, "When I'm afraid, I won't stop fearing." He doesn't say that. "When I'm afraid, I'm just going to stop fearing. Just stop it." He knows it doesn't work. Fears aren't going away. They've been around. They're going to be around. And so what's he say? What's he say he's going to do? "When I'm afraid, I will trust in you." So instead of the way that we fear less is we trust more. We have to elevate our trust in God. We can trust God because of his presence. Look at Psalms 118:6. It says, "The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid." The way that we've, how do we do that? How do we fear less and trust more? The way you fear less and trust more is that we constantly have to be thinking about the presence of God, that Jesus is with us. In fact, the disciples, like, I think we have it better than the disciples had it. The disciples had Jesus beside them. We have Jesus inside us. Wherever you go, if you're a believer, there God is with you. He's in you. The Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. And so how do we fear less and trust more? I'm constantly reminded of the presence of God. This was Moses when he was asked to go stand before Pharaoh, and he was afraid. He goes, "What am I going to say to him? And who am I? And what's he going to do to me? And who would I even tell is sending me?" And he says, "You tell them that I am. You tell them my name is I am." And he had this presence of God going before him. It's Joshua, who's never led before, standing in front, the whole millions of people standing around him, expecting him to lead them to the promised land. And God could see inside his heart that he was afraid. And over and over and over, you read in the text, don't be afraid. Be strong and very courageous. Don't be afraid. Be strong and very courageous. Trust me, I'm with you. I'm not going to leave you. We have to, the way that we fear less and trust more is constantly being reminded, having a presence of mind to know that God's presence is about you. When you think about Daniel, it's not just the presence of God, but it's the power of God. And Daniel wasn't going to quit bowing down and praying to his God three times a day. And he definitely wasn't going to bow down to this false king. And he wasn't going to do it. And he knew as they threatened his life that if you don't, we're going to throw you into a pit of lions and they're going to devour you. But he knew the power of God. And because he was reminded of the presence and the power of God, he didn't bow down and they threw him in. And at the end of the story, he's petting them, calling them pet names. He wasn't hurt. It's Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, these three Hebrew boys that wouldn't bow down and worship either. And they said, if you don't, we're going to throw you into a fiery furnace. But they knew the presence and the power of God and said, he will save me. And even if he doesn't save me, I'm not going to bow down. They just knew the presence and power of God. And sure enough, they got thrown in the fire. They didn't even smell like smoke. How do we fear less and trust more? Keep in mind the presence and power of God is within you at all times. If we just believe. So how do we fear less, trust more? Presence and power. The second thing is that we have to do is instead of carrying it, we cast it. That for a lot of us, we carry our fear. We want to carry it. And you know how we carry it? I don't know about you, but here's how I carry fear. I suppress it. You know how I suppress it? I get distracted and obsessed with other things. I begin to let other things just try to take over my mind so I don't have to deal with it. Maybe for you, it's work. You just start bogging yourself down in work and you work really late hours. So you don't have time to think about your fear. Maybe it's your hobbies and you just lose yourself in your hobbies. I don't know what it is for you, but the way that we try to carry fear is as it begins to weigh us down, we try to find ways to suppress it or ignore it. But Jesus has called us, right? We learn that in 1 Peter 5:7 that we are to cast all of our anxiety on him because he cares for us. Cast all of your anxiety on him because he cares for you. This word cast, what it means, because I think for a lot of us, when we hear the word cast, we kind of think like, I don't want that, and I just cast it away. Like, I don't want to worry about it. I'll just, cast it off. And that's not at all what the picture means when we hear the word cast. In fact, I need some help. Gabe, would you come up and help me? Now, for illustration purposes, I'm going to use this stone this morning to kind of represent some fears that I have. And I was going to bring a bunch of them just to kind of show the magnitude of different fears that we might carry. But for me, like there's a fear that I can allow myself to come into when I begin to think about being a husband. There's just some fear that comes into me about being a husband. And for the husbands in the room, I don't know where you are with it. If you're overconfident and you think you're getting it done, then let's talk afterwards and give me your tips, man. I need it. Because when Jesus says, love your wife the way Christ loved the church, who died and gave himself up, I just go, oh, man. I don't think I'm doing it. I don't know what that means. And I know I'm going to have to answer for it. And then I have three kids, and so that's three stones for sure, because I've got some fears about for my children, and two of them are daughters, so that's like five each just for the girls alone. Anybody with daughters say amen? You're like, oh, daughters. One of them's 14. Oh, that's heavy. I got grandkids. I don't know about you, but I got financial fears. I don't know about you, but I got some career fears, some employment fears. I don't know about you, but there's just a lot of fears that kind of come in life, and they can just stack up. I'm like, I don't know if I can carry them, and it just weighs you down. And I try to find other ways to think about something else. I suppress it. But 1 Peter 5:7 says that we're to cast all of our anxieties, all of our fears on him. because he cares. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. And I think that when one of the things that we want to do when we look at this word, the word cast, what it means is to give it to someone or something else that can carry the load. And so as we begin to put one fear and two fears and three fears and five and 15 and 20 fears, like you can't carry all that. It's too heavy. And so the scripture is telling us that we are to place it into something else or someone else that has the ability to carry the load in the way that you can't. That's the meaning of the word. And so here's what we want to do. We're like, Jesus, I have fears of being a husband. I'm going to, would you take it? Take it, Jesus. I got fears of being a husband, and I just want you to take it. Well, I don't know why you're not taking it, Jesus. You must not love me. Why isn't Jesus taking my fears of being a husband? And Jesus, would you take it? And I don't understand, Jesus, that you're holding out on me. And I think that that's how we think the verse says, is that I'm to cast all my cares, that Jesus will take them. Where it is in the passage does it say Jesus is going to force himself into our life and take it from me? It says, I have to cast, I have to give it to a person who can carry it better than I can and let it go. And what this doesn't say, it's not a careless fear that says, I have this fear of being a husband. I don't know that I can be a husband to my wife well, very well. Oh, well, here you go, Jesus. You figure it out. Good luck. Doesn't say that. It, when I cast my cares on Jesus, it doesn't mean that I'm careless. It says that I care so much about it that I cannot deal with it. I cannot solve it. I cannot fix it. I cannot make it right. I'm going to give it to the one who can. And you know what it does? You need to remember this. It relieves me of worrying about it, and it gives it to the person who knows how to lead through it. And now my mind is free to say, you are the only one who can solve it. Now I don't have to have the energy mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I don't have to exhaust that energy in carrying it anymore. It frees me up to hear from Jesus about the answer for it. Instead of me carrying and worrying about it, I get to hear the answer for it. So we both get to look at it, and I've trusted it to you. You're the only one that can. Now let's talk about it, and you tell me how to do it. 1 Peter 5:7. Thank you, Gabe. 1 Peter 5:7. Cast your cares to the one and only who can do something about it. It doesn't relieve you. It puts you in a posture, in a position where you can hear on how to work through it. How do we do that? Well, instead of ignoring fear, invite God into them. Let me share some passages with you. Instead of ignoring fear, we invite God into them. Philippians 4:6 says, I love how it juxtaposes some words here. Look at this. Don't be anxious about, look at this word, anything. Don't be anxious about anything. I don't know what anything is. I guess anything. Like, it's just all things. Don't be anxious about anything. But look what it says next. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. This prayer isn't just talking about them. It's giving it to the one who can answer it and putting yourself in a position, I'm not going to ignore it. I'm going to invite you into it, God. And I'm going to give it to you, and we're going to talk about it. I'm going to tell you how I feel about this fear. I'm going to tell you in true language what I'm scared of. And then I'm going to listen to you. Because I don't want to be anxious about anything, but everything I'm going to pray and with prayers and petition, and then I'm going to give thanks. God, I'm so thankful you've not asked me to carry that alone. I'm so thankful that you care about this fear way more than I do. I'm so thankful that you have the answers to overcome this fear. I'm so thankful that you're not going to leave me, abandon me, that your righteous right arm isn't too short to save me, but you're going to walk through this with me, carrying the weight of it, and you're going to see me through to the other side. we invite God into it. The best way that I can show you all of these things that have happened, instead of fearing less, to trust more, instead of carrying fear, we cast it. And you know, the way that we do this with not ignoring fear, but inviting God into it is David. Check out Psalms 55. This is why I had you turn there. He does it so beautifully and eloquently and amazing and just raw, in raw form. Psalm 55. You'll see all three of these things, how he stands his ground against fear. Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my cry for help. Please listen and answer me, for I am overwhelmed by my troubles. My enemies shout at me, making loud and wicked threats. They bring trouble on me, hunting me down in their anger. My heart is in anguish. The terror of death overpowers me. Fear and trembling overwhelm me. I can't stop shaking. Oh, how I wish I had wings like a dove. Then I would fly away and rest. I would fly far away to the quietness of the wilderness. How quickly I would escape far away from this wild storm of hatred. Who's not felt this prayer? Destroy them, Lord. Who's not thought that? Destroy them, Lord. Confuse their speech, for I see violence and strife. Its walls are patrolled day and night against invaders, but the real danger is wickedness within the city. Murder and robbery are everywhere there. Threats and cheating are rampant in the streets. It is not an enemy who taunts me. I could bear that. It is not my foe who so arrogantly insults me. I could have hidden from them. Instead, it is you, my equal, my companion and close friend. Like, he's calling out the fear. He's naming the fear. What good fellowship we enjoyed as we walked together to the house of God. Let death seize my enemies by surprise. Let the grave swallow them alive, for evil makes its home within them. But I will call on God. It's a transition point here. I will call on God, and the Lord will rescue me. Morning, noon, and night, I plead aloud in my distress, and the Lord hears my voice. He rescues me and keeps me safe from the battle waged against me, even though many still oppose me. God, who is king forever, will hear me and humble them. For my enemies refuse to change their ways. They do not fear God. As for this friend of mine, he betrayed me. He broke his promises. His words are smooth as cream, but in his heart is war. His words are as soothing as lotion, but underneath are daggers. Give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. But you, O God, will send the wicked down to the pit of destruction. Murderers and liars will die young, but I am trusting you to save me. I am trusting you to save me. So maybe instead of allowing fear to move me away from God, I allow it to move me towards him. Instead of allowing it to try to separate me and question God, I allow it to draw me close and to call on his name and to know that he will rescue me. Matthew 11:28 says this, "Come to me, all who are weary." Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He doesn't take it. He doesn't demand it. It's your choice. It's my choice. It's our choice. But you come to me. If you come to me, all who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. And so as we begin to think forward into our fear and like what are the next bold moves we can make, can I ask you a question? Are you worrying more or praying more? Have you confused the two? Are you worrying more or praying more? And everything that we've just talked about, what it means to cast and to draw close and to trust, and are you worrying more or are you praying more? Do you have somebody that you could invite into your life to say, will you help me fear less and trust more? Do you have somebody? Have you found somebody that says, I want you to hold me accountable. I want to fear less and trust God more. Would you pray with me about this? Have you asked God to carry it for you? I'm going to ask the band to come forward as we just kind of prepare and this time to reflect and to interact with God. And then inside your bulletin, there was a card that looked like this, and it's a 4 weeks to fearless challenge, 4 weeks to fearless challenge. And I would just ask that you kind of, you know, you write it in. The words that best describe my fear are what? You write that. The next section is, I'm praying to overcome fear of, and you check as many as apply. And then there's even a space for you to fill in your own. Like, let's name it so we can talk to God about it. And then let's invite God into it. And it says, I'm committing the next 4 weeks to pray daily, asking God to help me fear less and trust more. And at the bottom, I've invited you to write your name and give me your email. If you don't have an email, give me your, if you want a text message, then put your phone number down and I'll text it to you. Here's my commitment. Over the next 4 weeks, every day, I will send you a verse and I will send a prayer that helps you fear less and trust God more. Because I believe that's what God wants us to do, is to move away from fear, an unholy fear, and move back into this holy fear, this awestruck wonder of his presence and reverential respect of his power. So I'm just, as they just play, let's just take some time to meditate where we are with fear, and it's your choice. You don't have to write your name down or email, and that's okay. And then later I'll tell you what we're going to do with this. Can I just pray over as we meditate on this? Heavenly Father, as you just come into the fears that are very real into our life, you know they're real to us. Even though you have overcome them, and even though you know the way out, they are real to us, and they are an ever-present danger. But more importantly of the threat that they pose to us, the bigger threat is that it keeps us away from you. It keeps us apart from you because it's an area of our life that we're not relinquishing, we're not casting on you. And there's a part of you that we won't experience if we don't learn what it means to give it to you. So I just pray, Father, that you would give us the courage to fear less and trust more, and that we would begin by identifying the fears that we're living in every day and give them to you. That we would be billboards for others to see what it looks like when we cast all our fears on the one who cares for us. That others might have hope because of our faith in you. Help us, Holy Spirit, respond appropriately, I pray.